Okay.
Yeah.
So you know what I think happens is if they pick up the phone before we call in, it's
near them.
Yeah, they have to pick it up after we call.
That could be.
Okay, sir, what is your name?
Jerry Braggs.
6391.
Okay. Yay. I don't know.
Right. We are ADD. You got it. Okay, sir. The Honorable David Neal will be conducting your hearing this morning, sir.
I can barely hear y'all. It's kind of like distorted.
Okay, is this better? The Honorable David Neal will be conducting your hearing this morning, sir. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Mr. Neal, if he continues to have a problem with you, you can try sitting at the center of the bench.
Well, we just...
Good morning, sir. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir. I can hear you now.
Good.
Okay. Would you state your full name and your ABC number for the record, please?
Okay, Jerry Lee Bragg Jr., 28882.
All right. Okay, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Appeals in front of you. I'm going to introduce the board members that have been hearing your case this morning. My name is David Neal. I'm your panel chair. My right is the Honorable Michael Johnson. To his right is Honorable William Norris, and to his right is Honorable Dale Rittenhouse, also in the room. We have from the Department of Corrections, Mr. Alvaria. He also represents the Pro Office. I prior to this hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. On that form, you were notified of the right to appear to speak on your own behalf or obtain the license attorney at your own expense. Do you remember that form, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Did you hire an attorney or did you represent yourself today?
I represent myself.
Okay. Before we go on, I need to ask you, Mr. Alderman, a question. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God and do you so fun?
Yes,
I do.
Okay, you're going to be conducting in two phases. In phase one, you will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. And phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. Okay, start with phase one, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the allegations on your warrant, and after each one of the allegations, I'm going to ask you whether it's true or false. Do you understand that, sir?
Yes.
Okay, there are three allegations on your warrant. First allegation is a violation of the Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on May 31st, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated June 8th, 2017. That true or false, sir?
It was true.
All right, thank you. Okay, allegation number 2 is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of marijuana, THC, on June 1st, 2017, for the past lab report dated June 2nd, 2017. Is that true or false, sir?
That was true, sir.
All right, now allegation number 3, violation of Arizona Commission of Supervision number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to report the person to the Maricopa Reentry Center at 24601 North 29th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on June 2nd, 2017. To complete your sanction as directed by your assigned parole officer on June 2nd, 2017. You were actively avoiding supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
Well, it was true. Is that the seat, place?
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, based on this, the addition to Mr. Bragg, I'm going to write that into paper and be violated in terms of condition of your supervision and that he may have lapsed or will not lapse in a criminal way for company.
Sir.
Agreed.
Agreed. I just a moment, sir. Okay, we're moving to phase two now, where we're determining whether to revoke your supervision or reinstated. But first, we'll hear from Mr. Alderman on getting additional information.
Sir. Offender Branch was released from the Department of Corrections on September 29th of 2016. He was arrested on August 17th of 2017 by Phoenix PD on an absconder warrant and new felony charges of dangerous drug violation and a new misdemeanor charge of driving while license suspended or revoked. He was returned back to DOC custody on October 18th of 2017. He has 76 days of stop. His projected supervision end date will be on February 11th of 2018. Current convictions, 2010, theft, 1 year, and in 2012, narcotic drug violation, 5 years. There are no prior convictions noted. He has only one term with ADC. CU and IR scores are a 2-2, mental health score 1, and a substance abuse score of a 2. There is no STTA information noted. There are no prior terms of supervision. He has a minimal disciplinary history. There are no other arrests noted. His community risk level is a G1, V2, and status of charges. An email was received from Senior Parole Officer Tim Allen on Wednesday, November 29th of 2017. According to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, the offender was sentenced to 3 years probation on the felony count of dangerous drug violation, possession of dangerous drugs.
Okay, sir. I'm going to go over. I was discussing with Mr. Johnson the issue of your recent conviction and probation sentence. If you were sentenced to be incarcerated on that one, you couldn't really continue to reinstate your supervision, but with being probation, you would expect the probation. Whether we were issued or whether we reached the offender after the probation. That was the little discussion there. Okay, I'm going to go over a little information about the release and what we have here, and then we'll continue by letting you give us some information. Okay, looks like on September 29th, you were approved to resign at 1202 North 41st Street, Phoenix, Arizona, and no other residence was approved. Did you stay there until you were scouted, sir?
Yes, sir.
While you were a scouter, where did you stay?
I still stayed there.
Okay, so you stayed there the entire time?
The entire time.
Okay, all right.
It made it seem like I was running from them. I admit that I did not tie myself in to the MRC place. Okay. I was supposed to tie myself in for a sanction. I did all my other sanctions and I did better. But I didn't run from them and hide them and I still stayed at my right.
All right, we're going to move this information and we'll have an opportunity to tell us all about your side of what's going on, okay?
Okay.
All right, this is just some basic information we've established here. Doesn't show any employment. Were you a working writer out there?
Yes, I got a car club. I paint cars, restore classic vehicles. I do we paint cars, do interior, lift kits, stuff like that. And then I worked at a professional tattoo shop. Fabulous, whatever I did, tattooed professionally.
Okay. Tide for your programming. Michelle, you were referring to the SAGE program for substance abuse counseling on September 29th of 2016. You completed the program and subsequently graduated, and on June 2nd, 2017, you'll refer to the CAC programs for substance abuse counseling. And you failed to complete that program. On September 29th, 2016, you were referred to the TASC program for random drug screening under the colors of maroon. Showing for you and your analysis, it's on September 30th of 2016, there was no sampling, but it was on the 3rd of October, which was named. Then on the 6th of December 2016, there was no urine sample as directed by the PO, but then on the 7th of December, you did drop UA and it was negative. Then on February 27th of 2017, there's a diluted urine sample. Then on March 1st, you dropped UA and it was negative. Then in May, on the 31st of May, there was no sample collected. But then on the 1st of June, you tested positive for THC. So it seems that most of the time when you missed urine or UA, that you had that diluted, that the next day or next 2 or 3 days you did drop UA and you were all negative until June. You had a long time, sir, with basically negative UAs, and then all of a sudden the THC for marijuana shows up in June. So apparently you have a little relapse there. What's going on with that, sir?
Okay, the one on the 30th, when I first got out, he never told me, I seen that one, he never told me to go drop that day. Like, and then it was like I got in trouble for not doing it or something, but when I got out, I was trying to do everything perfect. So he didn't tell me to drop that day. And then he told me on the 10th, on the 10th, three on the October 3rd, I went and dropped all negative. I did have a positive THC at the last one, and then I had one of them was diluted, and then one of them ones that said I didn't go, like on that date, I called him and told him, like, I'm running late, I don't have no water or nothing, can I go tomorrow? And he was like, yeah, you can go tomorrow and drop, don't worry about it, just go in the morning. And then when I got the paper, it says, like, I refused to go. When I called him and he told me it was okay to go the next day. So, okay. Like, some of these is not correct.
Okay, well, on this, the only issue that's involved in the warrant would be the May 31st, 2017 drop, which you missed. And then the next day you did go and drop the UA, but it was positive for THC. So, what I'm getting at here, one of them that's really an issue is the one on the 31st of May. And the biggest issue about it is the next day you dropped it into a positive for marijuana. So what happened? I mean, you received a done a really good job of staying clean, and then all of a sudden there's marijuana going on. Was there something going on? Something changed?
Well, by that time I was like stressed out, my whole family, my uncle died, I was going through all type of problems, and it felt like I was trying to do everything and I wasn't really getting on the same page as my PO. It was like everything wasn't good enough, and it was like I was giving up, really, and I smoked a little weed, and then I still wanted to go. Like, deep down, I was trying to do right, so I'm like, I'm going to drop the UA, and I'm still going to go up to the CM and turn myself in and do what I'm supposed to do. And then I went and dropped and was done with THC. All my other UAs, I don't really do drugs at all. No hard drugs. Weed is the only thing I ever tried to do ever. So, like, all the other ones, even the ones that when I didn't show, when they would say, like, no urine collected, I was never dirty for nothing. Only when I was dirty for it was the 6-1-17.
Okay, well, like I say, the other ones, even at the very beginning, your PO didn't really take issue with those. because, you know, they have to document them, but when you miss the UA, and there's many, many reasons that people miss their UAs, they call the PO or talk to the PO, you know, the next day or two or three, depending on what day of week it is, and you drop many, they're not making a big issue of it, and it doesn't seem that he had a little bad issue with it over that, you know, almost a year, or 8 months, until when he did the makeup UA, you were bothered for THC, and then you astounded, so we don't really know what you were doing for that 76 days as far as drugs or anything else like that. And you haven't had a UA since you were, or at least we didn't have information about any UA since you were reincarcerated. So that's really the only one that's an issue. It looks like that for this, that you completed the SAGE programs for substance abuse counseling, but then when you got assigned to MRC, that's about the time you started using marijuana and had this poverty, and then you absconded. So why did you abscond then? Why didn't you just go on to MRC and complete your program?
I was really in a bind. I was trying to pay all my fines. Me and my BL, we got into some real waves. Me and my mom was helping me, my family, and then like life kind of got hard. And then it was like I was starting to give up. I was young, I just got out of prison. I've been in prison my whole 20s. So it was like I was young, I didn't really know what to do. This was like a wake-up call for me to come back here and show me all I really, it was stupid for me to not go. It was just like, oh man, I want to go turn myself in. I just got out of prison. Oh man, I got to go turn myself into jail again. And it was like now that I'm here, it was like, it would have been easier to just do the right thing. To turn myself in and do my little 2 weeks and, you know, get out and go. It was just, I was young and dumb. I didn't do the right thing. Because I was trying to follow, I followed the SAGE thing. And the CHC program, I was never referred to that. Like, I did the SAGE thing. The CHC thing, he never even told me to go to that. He told me to go to the MRC sanction. I didn't go to that. But the CHC program, substance abuse thingy, I never heard about that because basically that was the day after I went to see him and I was supposed to go to the MRC.
Well, that's part of that, isn't it? That's part of the MRC program. They're in there, they, what are you doing when they get MRC, they decide what programs, and if the, if you're dealing, recommend you to PR to MRC and have that CHC program on there. You need to report in so they're going to explain all that to you. So in fact, you didn't sign in with MRC is the problem with all that. You do realize that you would have been home for Thanksgiving if you would have just checked into MRC and done what you were supposed to at the time.
I realize if I did MRC, I would have had to do 2 weeks, and I would have continued my life, and I would have already been off parole. I realize that I messed up very badly. That's, I realize all of that now. But, you know, again, yeah, just getting out of prison, I was trying to just stay free, and I messed up. There's nothing really else to, I could sit here and try to lie and make a thousand little stories up. And I tried to follow, I was dropping all my negative UAs, I did the SAGE, I was doing everything. And when it got hard, I kind of folded a little bit.
Right, you actually have a pretty exceptional record for, the date of offense was in 2012. But the entire time you're actually incarcerated after your convictions and everything, you have minimal problems in prison. You don't have a huge fact it's not showing any previous contact with one or, you know, DOC or any of that. So,
My mom, she's been clean for like 20 years. She opened up halfway houses, and she ran halfway houses probably the last, like 13 years, she's been running halfway houses. I go to meetings with her, like volunteer, I go help her set up meetings and sit in and stuff. She got all her friends, been 20 years clean. So I stay around a lot of support to support my mom and my aunties and stuff. I'm around them all like halfway houses and stuff like that. So that always kept me from doing hard drugs. And, you know, mama always been on my head about doing the right thing. So, like, that's most of the reason that I think I stay straight, because mama stayed on my head.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
Is it nice?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Neal. So, Mr. Briggs, what was going on when you were arrested by Phoenix PD that caused you to pick up new felony charges regarding drugs, if you weren't using drugs?
Okay. I was driving a car that was in my name, and it was drugs in it. It was an person in the car, too. But because I was driving, everything is mine. Like, 9/10 of the law, I'm in possession of everything. So me saying it wasn't mine was not working. None of that was working. It was in the car while I was behind the wheel, so they gave it to me.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Thomas.
Sir, he was gone for 76 days, and what all were you doing in that 76 days that you were out? You didn't turn yourself in, or you started out good, you was working with your PO. Why did you not continue to work with the PO?
What I was doing, I was still doing tattoos and fixing cars, like restoring vehicles. I still had the same address. It was just like, I feel like God, I already gave up. I already was supposed to go to the NYC, and I feel like when I didn't go to the NYC, now that's an automatic violation. So if I was to go talk to him, it's not like, oh, 2 weeks later, now he won't come to my office and talk to me about the NYC. You're going back to prison. It's like I wanted to go turn myself in and then try the NYC, but it was like I didn't do it when he directed it to me. So I feel like I was just going to walk in and go back to prison. I felt like the NYC was no longer available because I didn't follow the instructions when he told me to go.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Bradley.
Any other questions?
No.
Okay. Mr. Bradley, we're coming close or near the end of your hearing, but it is your hearing, so we want to give you one last chance to tell us any other information that you'd like us to know. We ask that you don't repeat yourself with information that you've already given us, and then after you're done, we'll go to discussion to determine whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. Is there anything else you'd like to have us know, sir?
I was just really asking for a house arrest or a referral or something. I'm not a danger to the public. I'm not any type of threat to public society. I'm not no type of danger. And I was trying to see if anything, could I get house arrest or a referral or something like that? I heard about that. I don't know how true that is.
Okay, we're going to go into discussion to make our determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves since we worked under the open meeting law. You'll be able to hear everything we have to say, stay on the phone, but we do ask that you remain silent while we're in discussion. When we're done, we'll get back and let you know the determination. Okay?
Okay, yes, sir.
All right, the board is down to discussion. This is, pretty much every case out there is a sad case because somebody got in trouble and hasn't been able to maintain a position within society. But here's a young man that has a really, really clean record, and even while he's incarcerated, he's pretty well behaved himself. He got out there, made a bad choice, made a couple other bad choices, and now, with 76 of scoundings, looking at his release date in February, I am not really in favor of putting releasing to community supervision again, and it's primarily because of the scoundings, and not really knowing how much of anything illegal, hunting drugs, whatever. I do understand the situation. If you're driving a car and there's friends there with you and they got drugs, then you're in trouble too. So it's possible that even at that point in time he wasn't really
doing any drugs or anything. It's an unfortunate situation. But at this point in time, I think that he'd be better served to finish his time inside of the system and try to get some, make sure he gets some programming as far as like DNA and AA, just to make sure he gets out. That he can stay on his straight and narrow with his mother with her, leaving the halfway house. I think he's been well, I don't want to say indoctrinated, but he'd be well instructed in how he should be acting. So I, at this time, I would be in favor of revoking his student supervision. But I'm willing to hear what my other board members have to say, if anything.
I agree.
Okay. With that, based on the information that we discussed, and Mr. Bragg's own testimony, I'm going to revoke student supervision, Mr. Bragg's. And find that he was delinquent, violated terms, conditions, of supervision, and has lapsed or about lapsed in the criminal ways of recovery.
Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Bragg, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, but you will be be released on or about February 11th. 2018, and you won't have any more connections with DOC, and hopefully at that point in time, you will be able to stay away from the drugs, follow the directions that your mother gives all the other people that she brings into her halfway house, as you apparently have done so far. I mean, we do want to commend you on your record. You've done really well. Don't let this, the condition that puts you in now or the recent one point you down the path of drugs and problems and criminal activity, let it be a lesson as to how small a mistake you can make and get into a huge amount of trouble. So do you understand that, sir?
Yeah.
Okay, we do wish you all luck in the world. We don't ever want to see you here again. And not that we don't like you, but usually when we talk to somebody on the teleconference area, it's because they've had a problem, and we don't like to see those problems. We want to see you succeed, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, please give the phone back to
sir, the... Yes, sir, set the phone down on the table. Don't hang it up.